The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Hello and welcome into the latest edition of ESPN AFC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Craig Burley and Stevie Nicol as we continue our coverage of Liverpool winning the FA Cup final after a penalty shootout against Chelsea. We'll bring you the highlights and the reaction from the boys in a moment. But let's go to Wembley, shall we? Go pitch side. Nader Manua and Don Hutchinson is with us. Don, in the end, far from a classic final, but Liverpool won't care.
They won't care. Me and Nedham were sat in the Liverpool end. And honestly, Dan, it was emotional. The supporters were incredible. I mean, the drama on the pitch. I mean, we were trying to figure out players going off injured, players maybe rested for next week or the Champions League final, with so many players getting taken off the pitch and so many players being brought on the pitch. And me and Nedham were both looking at Alisson then. I think we both forgot and it got lost how his performance was. It was incredible.
Yeah, it was. He was really, really good. And I think that's what they needed today. Like that penalty save, I think it was from Mount. That's a great save. And just at that point, after that fifth penalty was missed, Mane missing, you're thinking, well, the momentum's with Chelsea now. But then, lo and behold, the moment steps up. Tsimikas, he makes that save. Tsimikas scores that penalty. And the place around us goes wild. Don included, by the way.
Don, look at the penalty shootout. When Mane stepped up and had that penalty saved, that must have changed the whole juxtaposition of the crowd around you.
Yeah,
it was devastating, wasn't it, for the Liverpool fans? Because obviously we're trying to, very, very quickly, you're trying to work out, oh, the Senegalese boys, it's his teammates. All of it comes together and you think, he's read him.
Yeah, and then to add to that, obviously there's no guarantee with this, but when Chelsea win the toss and they're in their end, and they win the toss and they get to go first, you're thinking everything's leading towards them. And it just goes to show, you know, it's never done at that point. But, you know, fair play to them for getting the result. That was a tough game, especially in the extra time. You can see the bodies that were down. But, you know, this is part of the journey. And I'll say it as a blue, like, I understand it. I understand what it's like.
You said to me afterwards, you said, you feel it now. You get it now, didn't you?
I totally get it. You know what I mean? Like, you don't spend a lot of time around other clubs. And to be in this Liverpool end, you can sort of feel that sort of long-term history, what it means to the people when the players are connected with the fans as well. So credit to them. Who knows? Maybe they'll finish before this year, but, you know, two is a very strong start now.
And what's interesting, Don, of course, the FA Cup not at the top of their priority list at the start of the season, still maybe the Premier League and the Champions League to come. But there is a feeling that there is nothing taken for granted with this victory.
Absolutely, it was massive. It was one that Jurgen Klopp wanted. He wanted more domestic trophies. I think, as I alluded to at the start, he never had the squad to compete for all competitions. Now he feels as though he's got a squad. You know, he's taken people like Virgil van Dijk off, even if Virgil wasn't injured, and bringing Joel Matip on. And the standard of players throughout the squad is incredible, and that's the one that he wanted. He's seen the scenes, and we were very lucky. Jurgen Klopp was doing fist pumps just behind us, and he was emotional. He was pointing up to his family. You could see James Milner came over to yourself, and he was speaking. And the players wanted it ever so badly. They were desperate for it.
Nedham, overall, from a Liverpool perspective, how much credit should Jurgen Klopp get for what he's achieved since being at the club?
He deserves so, so much credit. I think, as Don was saying there, you know, the squad that they have, it's very, very good. You know, they can go for all these four trophies. I think they played every game that's available to them so far this season. And they can make these changes and not really affect the way that they are as a team. You know, their identities remain. And I think that goes a lot down to the manager, that coaching staff, and just the belief and understanding of what you have to do. You know, they're in a position now where they can bring on Firmino and things like extra time. When there was one point, he was part of the key three. So I think he deserves a ton of credit. The players do as well. The staff, the fans. You know, in these moments, it's crazy to think that this is the first time they've won it under Klopp. But it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, in the future, they're contesting many, many more.
The fireworks and the celebration going on behind you, boys, as you can see, Liverpool celebrating with the fans on the pitch. The quadruple still on for Liverpool. Tsimikas, very much the hero, scoring the winning penalty in that shootout, which gives them their eighth FA Cup win, their first since 2006. There's something within this team, Stevie.
Just when it matters most, somebody, and that's the key, it's not always the same one that produces.
to date, it's Tsimikas. And you've got to say Jota before him as well. Jota misses, Chelsea win the FA Cup. So they're fortunate that, yes, they've got great players, they've got a great unity, they've got a great team, but they're lucky that on any occasion there are multiple players that can step up and get it done.
Watch your hamstrings. Watch the hammy. Might have to play in Paris. Jota was number six, wasn't he? And probably thinking beforehand, you know, I'm okay with that. I probably don't have to take one.
As Sadio Mane walked up.
And then as Mane misses, and then the next Chelsea one is scored, all of a sudden, as Stevie said, the pressure is huge. So that was a very, very good penalty. You feel Mason Mount's been a brilliant player for Chelsea all year. He's the top scorer. He is almost in the team most weeks, works hard, does everything right. Just keeper chooses the right way, and he's a big frame, isn't he, Alisson? Right. And if you don't hit enough pace, enough power, and he chooses the right way, then you're in trouble. And you got to feel for the lad, but it's part and parcel of the game.
What's interesting, Steve, you were seeing there people trying to give him some solace, trying to give him as a man who missed, what, in a European Cup final, that's the last thing you want.
Well, the more I think about it, I guess it's an individual thing. I'm sure some people are happy that somebody comes up and gives them that. Personally, stay away from me. Leave me alone.
The difference is you won.
Well, but...
It's easier to stomach.
But even so, had we not, I wouldn't have wanted people around me mollycoddling me. Look, I'll get over it. Didn't work out. Leave me alone. That's, again, just a personal opinion.
Azpilicueta, of course, missing that second penalty for Chelsea, which opened the door for Liverpool. Mane missing the fifth, but in the end, it doesn't matter to Liverpool and Jurgen Klopp as he continues to add to his legacy at the club, Craig.
Yeah, I think they just about shaded it in the end. I mean, it's so hard to gauge, and for the last, I don't know, 40, 50 minutes, including extra time, two teams were absolutely knackered, out on their feet. The game was stretched, substitutes come on. Some had a bigger influence than others. Yeah, I think over the balance of play, even though Liverpool were not at their sparkling best, I think they just did enough.
I think this is one of those... The penalty shootout to me is a classic of after the Lord Mayor's show, because as soon as Mane misses, I'm thinking, you know, should you have let Mane take it? Because he's against his own teammate in Mendy, who has watched and probably been in goals for penalty practices against them. You know, would you, in hindsight, have let Jota take that fifth one? But again, it's really easy to say so after the event, because you kind of think that between Mane and Mendy, it was a bit of a double bluff, you know, because he knows he goes to that side. That's the side he went to when he won the African Cup of Nations. So is he thinking Mendy thinks I'm going to change it? So it's that. You could have got rid of that whole dynamic if you had changed it. But again, easy to say after the penalty's been missed.
How critical, if at all, should we be of Chelsea?
I just think Liverpool are a better side. And even Liverpool not at full strength. The league table doesn't lie. The Champions League doesn't lie. These elite competitions, over the 36 games or whatever it is so far, they're a mile ahead, them and Man City. So they lack... They lack a killer instinct up front, again, there's no doubt about that. Again, we saw Pulisic with a couple of chances. There was other Chelsea players with a couple of chances. Didn't take them. If you keep Liverpool to a clean sheet in normal time, defensively, you've done a decent job. It's the other end.
Right.
It's the other end. When they're creating chances, they haven't taken them again. I mean, it's ifs and buts, but the Carabao Cup final and this Cup final could have been different with a real quality front line. They don't have that, and that's why he's chopping and changing all the time, and that's why Lukaku was back in after the season that he's had.
And they've been doing it all season. You know, with Lukaku coming in, we thought, right, this team's set, they've got the centre-forward, they've got choices outside of Lukaku with a front three, you know, Werner, Havertz, Pulisic, Zajic, Mount. It's like, this team's in good shape. Mm-hmm. But really, from the get-go, they never quite figured it out. Going forward, they've never quite figured out the best front three and who was actually going to be their goal scorer. Every successful team needs a guy who's pretty much the goal scorer. Chelsea don't have one of them. And in these two cup finals, as Craig said, that's probably what's cost them.
It's been a big week for Liverpool in a sense that obviously they saw Manchester City knocked out of the Champions League. They thought, well, what sort of response are they going to get? Obviously, they went to Newcastle, put five past them, five past Wolves. Liverpool dropped points against Spurs, giving them the momentum in the Premier League.
Yep.
Does this give them that energy boost that they need now for the final few matches of the season?
There'll not be any energy for the game against Southampton.
Right.
He's going to make a raft of changes. Right. And just he's going to make a raft of changes and come what may. If they pick the points up, fine. If they don't, obviously, we'll know what happens tomorrow, Man City, West Ham. But he's going to have to do it because I've been saying at 90 minutes, there's a fine line between leaving everybody on in this game and the remainder of the Premier League season and the Champions League. So I think he got the balance just right, and I think we'll see a lot of changes midweek because a lot of these players are going to need a rest because Real Madrid are sitting back and they're picking and choosing who plays and when people come off and who has a rest. Klopp's going to have to do something similar.
Tsimikas came on, for the last 10 minutes of the second period of extra time to replace Robertson.
Yep.
He can't have touched the ball that often before that penalty kick.
No, but he kind of looks as though he's got a little bit of a chip on his shoulder when he does come on. He's trying to push himself into that Champions League final.
Yeah.
But you know, I think the biggest thing here is that we kind of admitted that it looks like Klopp has got an eye on the Champions League final. And if Klopp's prepared to lose an FA Cup final to look after a Champions League final, you've got to think that Southampton on Tuesday is going to be full of reserves. Because you're not going to throw your men out or your best men out on a whim, because that's what it is. It's a chance, but it's pretty slim that Liverpool win the Premier League. So he's not going to play MD against Southampton, and he's going to save everybody for that Champions League final.
Boys, we talked a lot about Liverpool. Let's focus on Chelsea. How much was this a missed opportunity for Thomas Tuchel's side, considering you go into extra time, there's no Salah, there's no Van Dijk. Clearly Liverpool are tired. Chelsea just couldn't really find that extra gear, could they?
No, they couldn't. I thought they had some good performers. I thought Rudiger played really well. I thought in the middle of midfield, I think Jorginho done quite well. I think they were just, me and Nathan were trying to guess through the first 90 minutes how the game was going. Were Liverpool dominating the game? And then we come to the conclusion it was Liverpool's first 20 minutes, then 20 odd so minutes of Chelsea. Then it was a similar sort of story in the second half where I think the game went in waves. But I think if you're in that Chelsea dressing room, Dan, you'll be so disappointed from a very promising start of the season. A couple of trophies in the bag. You think everything's going well. Manager's fantastic manager. They've got a manager that's going to take them to another level. Then off the field problems kicked in. One or two players are obviously on the move. I don't think that affected them. I just don't think they had enough to beat Liverpool.
Yeah, and I think that's a shame, really, because you see the season, in 90 minutes, they've not lost to them. They've literally matched them all the way. Liverpool might end up with four, and Chelsea end up for this season, essentially, without anything to show for it. So it is a shame. They did feel like they were in the ascendancy a little bit, but realistically, how many more clear-cut chances did they create after that sort of first spell, I think, at the start of the second half?
Yeah.
So they will be disappointed. I think this was a great opportunity for them, but the reality of the situation is Liverpool can rotate, people can make changes, and it can still be Liverpool.
It felt, once they took Romelu Lukaku off, Dan, we were like, you're seeing people like Mason Mount and you see Hakim Ziyech and Christian Pulisic, good players but diminutive players, and you start to think, well, have they lost a little bit of strength in Lukaku? There was no outball. All of a sudden, if you're Joel Matip or if Virgil was on at the time and Konate, you're thinking they're not going to be a threat. So the longer the game went on with their diminutive front line, it felt as though it took it slightly away from Chelsea.
Yeah, it certainly did feel that way, but they still had enough players on the field to be able to score. When they look back across this game and the Carabao Cup to a certain extent as well, to not have registered a goal in those two matches, you can see how costly it can be, because as soon as you go to penalties, it's a lottery. And in this moment, Alisson just stepped up and he was essentially the difference.
Diaz was standing behind us, Dan, and he got man of the match. I thought he was absolutely unplayable.
Yeah, he was electric throughout, wasn't he?
The other thing is Thomas Tuchel is difficult to figure out at the moment in terms of who he's putting on, who he's selecting to start. You think about Timo Werner, who's had a troublesome time at Chelsea. In all fairness, the last few weeks, his form's been better, right? He's looked sharper. He's looked in a better place. And yet, OK, he doesn't start. But guess what? When Liverpool were absolutely knackered, the one thing he'll do,
they're running
behind. he's fast, he's pacey, and yet he doesn't even get off the bench today, and yet he's been having one of the better periods of his Chelsea career. I kind of think Thomas Tuchel's just throwing mud at things at the moment and seeing what sticks. I don't think he knows what his best team is. Certainly in the front line, he doesn't know who's going to get the goals from. But it's just weird when people are starting to hit a little bit of form from where they've been. He doesn't even get any minutes in a cup final when Liverpool are tired.
Yeah, it's strange because he's kind of done that with all the front guys. You know, they're in and out and in and out, and then all of a sudden, Werner is a good example. All of a sudden, he plays like four or five games in a trot, and then we're thinking, hold on, this guy's getting better. And all of a sudden, he's not playing. So you do have to question that. But at the same time, you have to have a little bit of sympathy with Tuchel, because he's had nobody in the front line to rely on the whole season. You know, we're at the end of the year, and I'm telling you that I'm delighted that Havertz isn't playing from a Liverpool point of view. But he hasn't had Havertz for a whole season either. Havertz has missed periods of the season when he's been fit. So he's really not had any sort of core going forward that he's been able to rely on.
Has he been too stubborn tactically in that he hasn't set things up in a way that would have aided a Lukaku up front?
So you change your whole team for one guy?
If that guy's going to get you goals which you aren't getting in big games, then surely that's worth it.
Well, I don't know. If you've just won the Champions League, are you going to completely change the way you play for one guy? When the one guy you're bringing in, you think, is going to suit your style of play and he's going to score goals. And when it doesn't quite work out, he then throws a hand grenade in with all this stuff about Inter Milan. So, no, I don't think he's been that stubborn. I don't think that's been the real problem.
No, I think I'd be interested to know who had the final say on the Lukaku signing. Mm. If Thomas Tuchel gave the go-ahead and said, this is it, yep. I want it, it's on him. It's on him to figure it out, right? It's on him to know the player, to know the personality. But if it's somebody that he didn't want and he had to take him in, that's a different scenario. Then you try and figure out a way to make him a bit better. Didn't really want him. He's maybe caused one or two problems with the interviews. His form then dropped. A difficult scenario, but it's up to him as a coach to figure it out. But it's not a lot different to quality of the game, it's not a lot different from the Carabao Cup final. Chelsea were wasteful when they did create chances in the final third. You know, Pulisic off the heel, Alonso with a bit of a heavy touch that let Alisson come out and smother it, one or two other chances. That's the big difference for them. You look at Liverpool, they've got goals. They've got five players that will score goals, yep. And Firmino's out of form. You look at Tottenham, you've got Son and Kane that will get goals and others. City, it's all across the board. Chelsea, that's a huge problem. You can't just rely on one player. Mason Mount's got 11 goals. You need somebody chipping in from the front with 20 to 30 goals, and then you need some other goals from the middle of the park. They're not getting that.
And it was interesting during the week, wasn't it? We were discussing the fact that maybe Haaland coming in would see Manchester City just completely dominate the league and take any competition away. And you said, yeah, but Dan, it's not only about having money, it's about where you spend it. Liverpool have been an example of how they've done that so well, as opposed to Chelsea. And you look at the signings that they've made, haven't had that same sort of impact.
Yep. I would agree with that, and it's a shame for them. But to not go too deeply on Chelsea at this moment, you know, we're talking about them in cup finals, and for as much as they've not scored, Liverpool haven't scored either in those two, but it is over the duration of a season, and you know, maybe not everyone can get that sort of recruitment right. You bring people in and you're hoping they're going to have an impact, but they haven't really been able to consistently have that. I think you look at someone like Saul as well, who joined this season, you know, you've barely seen him kick a ball, but as I say, you just don't know. You do your research, you look into it, you know the people, you know their style of play, and you hope they hit the ground running. But for Chelsea overall this year, especially over the second half of the season, they've gone through some difficult circumstances. You can see it's affected not just the players, the whole club. And as a consequence, maybe they suffered a bit with that. But, you know, they've got a chance this summer to potentially address some of that recruitment, whether it's some people need to go, more people need to come in. But for them, I suppose they're looking to the future with the new ownership, and I think that is going to be key.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Let's go to Alexis Nunez now. He's joined by the hero goalkeeper for Liverpool, Alisson.
Yeah, thanks so much, Dan. Hero goalkeeper indeed, Alisson. Congratulations. The FA Cup is finally yours. Tell me how this feels, because Jürgen even spoke this week about how much you guys desperately wanted this one.
Yeah, it was amazing. We won the League Cup, but winning the FA Cup as well is something amazing. The atmosphere on the pitch was fantastic from the supporters. Like, against a big club, against Chelsea, really good team, really tough side to play against. It's difficult always. And also going into a penalty shootout, need to keep the mind calm to make the best job. The lads, they did amazing shooting. And then I just need to make one save, was enough.
Well, as the boys are celebrating with you there, what a keeper, they said, indeed, a very, very crucial save. But during the match, of course, as a goalkeeper, you get to watch, and you saw how many chances they had. When it eventually went to extra time and then penalties, what was going through your mind?
Just, I'm there to do my job, to be honest. I'm always focused, even if I don't make any saves in the game. I'm always ready and prepare myself to be at the best level as possible in the match. And today, I was needed. Doing a few saves, like playing from behind, but the players, my teammates, they did fantastic job. We played so well, we deserved the win in the normal time, but a final is sometimes not a clean win. You need to fight for it, you need to give everything that you have. We did that in the extra time with passion. Everyone was exhausted, to be honest, but in the end, happy end for us.
And I'm sure your manager, Jurgen Klopp, very happy. As we said, he said how badly he wanted this one. He seems like such a cool uncle or a dad for you guys. Is this a special one that you feel like you've gifted to him?
Definitely. He acts like a dad, like a good uncle. More like a dad, I think, because sometimes he shouts on us. The uncle is always nice. He can be angry as well, I can tell you. But he's fantastic for the team, and the team is fantastic for him. Like, he's like a family. We need to work together. All the parts working helped us a lot. All the staff, his staff is fantastic as well. Goalie coach, assistants, fitness department, everyone gave 100% to make us to be the best way as possible.
And then speaking of fitness, we saw that you looked like you had a bit of a niggle, needed to stretch out a bit. How are you feeling now?
I feel fine. It was just the knock. Was a hard one. It's painful. It's sore. It will be sore for a few days. But it's part of football. Sometimes you have to fight. And I have a lot of scars already.
Alisson, congratulations.
Thank you.
We were talking, weren't we, during the match. We're remembering who preceded Alisson.
I won't fight him. I won't fight him. He's a big chap.
Hello, your age as well.
You can see the latest fight.
With your back.
I know what it meant.
And we were looking back, weren't we, at those that preceded, how big a problem area it was for Liverpool in the past to have a goalkeeper that you could rely on, and what a difference he's made.
Yeah, to have somebody... Well, there's two things. To have somebody behind you when you're a defender, like him... You look and you know. Well, it's fine. We're good.
Right.
You don't even think.
You're not second guessing yourself.
You're not thinking about it. It's the only thing you're thinking about is doing your job, because you don't have to worry, because you know who he's doing his.
Right.
And from his point of view, what he gives to everybody along the back line is just complete and utter confidence. And so, again, the key is you don't think about it. It's like having somebody's bricked up the goal.
Right.
Somebody's got a load of bricks, got some cement, bricked it all up, you know it's fine.
Which is what Chelsea didn't have in Kepa. If you remember, we sat here many, many times talking about, look at the players reacting to Kepa, he's not coming off his line, he's not doing this. And they just lost confidence in that guy, even though the club had spent millions on him. And what did they do? They had to go out and buy an excellent goalkeeper in Mendy to give them that stability and to give those centre-halves and those defenders confidence in the guy behind them. That's what Liverpool have got now in abundance.
Most certainly, and it makes a difference to the back. You've got Van Dijk coming in as well. It's that spine of the side that has been the key to the success.
Yeah, I think you know, you're always talking about building. You're always talking about the base. You're talking about the spine here. There is no question, if you look at any successful side, it starts down the spine. And from there, then you can start adding your flair parts, if we want to call them that. And it's just a great combination. You've got strength, and you've got skill, and you've got stars. It's a win-win.
One of those stars, of course, has shone so brightly this season once again is Sadio Mane, and he's with Alexis Nunes.
One day I'll go there.
Yes, guys, indeed. I'm with a very happy Sadio Mane who just said one day he'll be coming to Jamaica. But right now, he's at Wembley, FA Cup champion. Sadio, talk to me about what those words mean.
Honestly, I think one of the more beautiful days for me. I think, yeah, like I said, I'm very happy to win this trophy because it was one of our targets from the beginning. So we did it, I think. Well, we know it was a very tough game, but the more important for us is to win the cup. We did it. I'm very happy and very proud of the boys.
What did the manager tell you guys going into this one? Because obviously you played Chelsea recently. It was a tough match, clearly today again. So what was the talk like?
Yeah, obviously we know we struggle a lot, but we expect that because Chelsea is one of the strong opponents in the league, in the world. So the manager said that we have to be calm, we have to give everything to chase from the beginning until the end. It's for what we try to do, and we get reward from the end, at the end of the day.
And I hate to bring it up, of course, the penalty, but it was saved by your countryman, so I suppose not too, too bad. But what was going through your mind that time, and how much of a relief after when Alisson made the big save?
Yeah, I think all the credit to Alisson, because myself, I lost the penalty, I missed the penalty, but who cares? The more important for us is to win the cup. We did it. So, like I said now, Alisson, all the credit for him. Very happy for him, and we are all happy and proud.
Well, you still have a big one in the Champions League final coming up. Does this help mentally going into that one to take this happiness?
Of course, I think winning this cup, I think it's another extra motivation for us to prepare well the Champions League. We know it will be very, very difficult, but we'll be ready for it because it's one of our targets.
Sadio, thank you so much. Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's impossible not to smile when you hear from Sadio Mane. Like, little naughty twinkle in his eye. And he didn't have the best game today. And like Stevie said, this is what has kind of epitomised Liverpool over the years. And you don't need one person. You don't rely on one person all the time. No Mane today. Salah comes off. But in the end, collectively, they get it done.
It was effectively one of the front three operated normally today, Luis Diaz.
Yep.
In all fairness, you know, I've got to say, Thiago Silva did an incredible job, and Reece James in particular, but Thiago at his age, to play against these guys that are so quick and their movement's excellent, the job he did at his age was incredible, all his experience. But yeah, he didn't have the sharpest game of the day. It's always easier to bail yourself out a bit of a hole when you've missed a penalty when you win. That being said, when you've missed a penalty and you've got a Champions League final coming up, you're thinking, geez, I don't want this.
Yeah.
I don't need this going to penalties because I'm probably going to have to step up again. And it's in your mind. So it's not an ideal scenario, but you quickly put it behind you as a player, particularly when your team wins.
Boys at Wembley, obviously Alexis bringing up the Champions League final. Are Liverpool pretty much throwing in the towel when it comes to the Premier League? Like, how do you turn your attention now to Southampton away if you're Jurgen Klopp? Still thinking, obviously, not only about this game and the fatigue, but the final as well in Paris against Real Madrid, which is, what, 2 weeks today?
Good question, because we've just been talking about that, haven't we? And we picked the back five maybe midweek.
and all of a sudden the players that come in don't weaken Liverpool. We pick the back five off the top red and you go, all of a sudden you throw Gomez in, Matip, Konate, Tsimikas, Alisson behind, you go, strong. And then you go into midfield, James Milner, Jordan Henderson, maybe Curtis Jones comes in. You know, Diaz will go again, Mane will go again, yeah. Jota will probably go again. Mm-hmm. That's the thing with Liverpool, Dan. It's, even though you're taking some key players out, you're not necessarily weakening them too much. So it's still a very, very elite Premier League team if you went with lots of changes.
Yeah, for sure. I like what Dan said there. You know, it's not throwing in the towel to make changes.
No.
Because they got to this point by being able to rotate people, because otherwise we would have seen the same Liverpool team play across these 62, 63 games so far. Like, they still are in with a chance. And whilst they do that, they will step forward with a team that believes they can go and win no matter where it is. You know, they might make changes, but the mentality remains the same.
And they can react they after the Man City game, can't they?
Exactly. This is who they are. This is what they do. And they've got three games left this season. Like, when you think about it from that context, this is just what you got to do. You got to try and win three games and then see what happens from there. Who knows? Maybe you'll get you four titles.
Who are you wrapping in cotton wool, though, Nadim?
Well, to be honest, seems like Van Dijk might be out. So him coming off, apparently that he had a bit of a niggle and I think he was struggling just a little bit. So I guess he's not going to be playing on Tuesday. And maybe this is what Klopp was talking about recently, about the scheduling, because this is a late game on a Saturday for then a game on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
So I guess he'd be out. Looking at it, who
Salah.
Else?
Salah came off.
Yeah, Salah. I'm sure he'll be a doubt as well.
I think in the back of their mind, I think they're preparing probably for Mo Salah and Virgil for the Champions League final with Fabinho. They're getting them boys fit. They're saying don't worry about midweek. We've got enough. We've got enough cover.
Yeah, for sure. I think they will. If they're close to fitness, they'll take them along. And if they need to use them in a game, I think they will. As opposed to just leave them in Liverpool, because at the end of the day, they're down here now. Mm. And are they going to fly back to Liverpool tonight to then come back down on Monday? I'm not too sure.
Yeah.
So I guess they'll just stay part of the group.
If West Ham, if Man City win tomorrow, it's pretty much over.
Yeah. Yes.
But I mean, you know, he's going to make a raft of changes. He'll probably make even more if that happens. There's no way Van Dijk's playing. Not in a million years. There's no way Robertson's playing. Alexander-Arnold's not playing. Thiago's not playing. You know, Jones will probably play.
Luis Diaz looked knackered.
Luis Diaz will not play. Salah will not play. Mane will probably not play. You're probably looking
at... Get your boots on, Stevie.
Jota, what? You're probably looking at Jota and Origi and one other.
Firmino.
Bobby Firmino.
I mean, it's
not a disaster.
Yeah.
You know, and they can pick a second team with, well, almost a second team with two or three still surviving from this and go down and still be way stronger than Southampton, who have been struggling
of
late.
Yeah,
they're on the beach, but nothing to play for. But tomorrow could dictate it somewhat with City, but I suppose it's not going to dictate it too much. He's going to have to make a big lump of changes anyway, and he's got the squad to do it. Mm. I mean, we saw Tsimikas playing, taking that penalty day. Whenever Robertson's been out this year, he's done a really good job, you know.
Yeah.
He's not quite as dynamic as Robertson, but he's a little solid guy, gets stuck in, wants to defend, and will get forward. So, yeah, lots of changes, and they'll still be favourites to win that game.
Reserve team, and so he should.
Right.
Absolutely. You've got to be realistic. You know, I think I said it earlier, to jeopardise the Champions League final by playing some players in a situation where not only is it not in your hands, but something absolutely extraordinary, crazy, is going to have to happen. So to play players that need a break would be absolutely ridiculous, in my opinion. I think you'd be lucky if you see two players that started this game today. You might see Keita. And after that, I'm not really sure. I can't think of anybody else that I would play. Everybody else should play. And the others, stay at home, get your feet up, and watch the game on the TV.
Of course, when you were at Wembley, you were dancing with the Watford mascot, I think, for an FA Cup.
I was forced to do
something. Yeah, yeah.
So,
you look as though you were enjoying yourself.
You're hanging out with mascots, Nadim.
Yeah.
You were chatting with Jordan Henderson and James Milner as well. Where did you tell them your allegiance lied today?
What are you talking about, my allegiance? They know who I am. I just love football, Dan.
Oh,
don't be trying
God.
To start any trouble here, you. Don't be like that.
Yeah.
I just love football. It's great to be at another FA Cup final with Dan, you know, who's great with the Liverpool
scored
fans
it.
As well. Did you score it?
I told him about the goal, Dan.
Look at Don. Look at Don just there. Minutes. No one's interested in Don.
just scored a header here a few years ago.
Who was that for? Where was it?
Yeah, Scotland, England. It was just... Just, you know... I don't like to mention it.
Don, somebody say hello to Don.
No, look at Don. Did Jordan say, why did you bring this guy with sweatpants to the final?
By the way, let me tell you now, we both give him a hug, didn't we?
Yeah.
He is stinking of champagne.
Absolutely reeks of it.
Oh, we don't have any footage of you giving anyone a hug, Don.
Sorry, don't believe
you look
it.
A bit like an outsider.
Listen, when I ask you who your allegiance is to, just say ESPN and play the corporate card.
Yeah, there you go. Very good.
It's simple.
Don, do you want to address some of the criticism that there's been on social media about your outfit today?
I don't think you're the man, Dan, but I'll take it from anyone else. What's the rumours? What are you saying?
And they're saying you shouldn't wear sweatpants to a final.
Oh, dear. Is that what they're saying? Fashion, Daniel, fashion.
And maybe you could have worn a belt.
Yeah. Don't need a belt. Why do you need a belt when you've got a lace? There's no hoops. It's a casual suit for a casual day.
It's the FA Cup final. It's the pinnacle of the English Canada.
Yeah, well, he's been here before, though. He's been here before. He's lived this. He scored it. You know what I mean? He could might as well come in his pyjamas. You know what I mean? What difference does it make?
He did come in his pyjamas.
It does look like that, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Gentlemen, thank you as always. Good luck getting back home. Much appreciated. Looking at this...
What you got from me now? By the way, you went for a big word during this broadcast. Juxtaposition.
I did. It came out nice, didn't it?
Yeah, it came out not bad for you.
I know. Normally two syllables are my limit.
Yep, dangerous.
Are you happier or more concerned if you're Real Madrid with what happened today?
Oh. Well, you know they've gone. If you're Real Madrid, you're gone. I hope they get.
You're who?
Real Madrid.
Real Madrid.
Yeah, you're hopefully going, I hope they get beat.
Right.
Just because there's nothing worse than getting beat in a cup final. It takes something out of you.
Well, I'm happy. I'm thinking, I'm looking at, after watching it, that is.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're seeing, you know, Salah go off injured. They're seeing Van Dijk going off, even though we don't know, but it could just be to give him a rest, or maybe there's a little niggle. They know Fabinho is going to be... probably fit, but it could be touch and go. Again, they've had 120 minutes in the pressure of penalties. So it's not been a cakewalk for them. And it wasn't a cakewalk at Villa Park in midweek either. That's two tough games.
Yeah.
In the space
and the Spurs as well, you can add to that.
Spurs game. So in the space of 7 days...
And Villarreal, you can add to that.
All right, in the space of 10 days. So, yeah, in the space of a week, they've had some tough games where Real Madrid, let's be honest, haven't.
Yeah.
So... there's no doubt the legs are getting taken out of Liverpool at the moment. And that's why Jurgen Klopp, the manager who I know we're just about to hear from, will make, I would imagine, a lot of changes.
Well, let's hear from him now with Alexis.
Thanks so much, Dad. I'm here with the manager of the moment, Jurgen. Just a couple of weeks ago, you told me how much you really wanted this one. Now you are an FA Cup final champion. You've led your troops to it. In case anyone needs a reminder, how does it feel?
World class, outstanding, perfect moment in an incredibly difficult game against an incredibly good opponent. Going again 120 minutes on match day, 60 for us or whatever, madness. And the best thing about the games, apart from winning it, is the first 25, 30 minutes were the best we ever played against Chelsea. It was absolutely incredible how good we were. But of course, we didn't score in that moment, typically for us as well. So keep it open. Chelsea came back, it was up and down. Chelsea got more grip of the game, used the size of the pitch, diagonal balls, madness to defend. But we came back in the game at two, three incredible chances. I think Robbo could have scored two on the second post. Yeah, three, okay, fine. And so it's, yeah. It means the world to our people, it means the world to us, because it's absolutely insane in a season like that to have all 3 days to pick yourself up again and go again. It's so difficult, but the boys do it, and I couldn't be more proud.
Well, speaking of those boys, because just about 2 years ago you spoke about how difficult it is to compete in every competition without the deepest squad. Now you've given it a good run in the title race, you're in the Champions League final, you've won the Carabao Cup, you've won the FA Cup. I'm running out of breath. Have you got your dream squad now?
Yeah. For the moment, definitely. It's clear we'll not stay like this. There are always other things will happen, and it's, who cares in the moment, really. Yes, but for this year. And you know, what people ask me before the game, it's a difficult decision to line him up or line him out. That's not a difficult decision. That's easy. It's football. The difficult decision is to leave out world-class players and even better boys out of the squad. that hurts me. You can't imagine how much. But if we wouldn't have if we wouldn't have these boys and wouldn't have the numbers, we wouldn't be here. So that's the truth as well. So it's just really crazy, and I really hope that all the boys, even the boys who are on the squad, really feel how important they were for everything what we do this season. So now we want to and go for maybe two more. We will see. That depends obviously a little bit on result tomorrow. If City wins 10-0, then we probably should not think, let me see what do we have to do, like these kind of things. So it's tricky, but who cares in a moment? We will have a look. We will try to recover, as difficult as it is, and we'll try to find 11 players for Southampton, and then we will go from there.
And then speaking of recovery, we saw Mo go off, at least with a niggle. We also saw Virgil too. How are they doing?
I think they are kind of okay. I don't think they will be ready for Tuesday, to be honest. Don't think they would have been ready for Tuesday anyway, but I think they're all right. So it was a bit more precaution. Mo felt something, said I could carry on. Do I have to make a decision? No, then we feel something that will not get better. Usually on a pitch, it doesn't get better. It's not the best treatment. And with Virgil, it was then a little bit like this. So it was clear 90, yes, 120, no. But what a situation you bring on Joel Matip. Oh, my God. That's really cool. And so all fine.
Jürgen, congratulations. Thank we'll you let you go much. Celebrate.
Thank you.
Cheers.
You think he's happy?
He is right, though. I mean, aye. You know, Matip is turned into an excellent defender, so you bring him on. Salah goes off. You bring Jota on, who's been a terrific player for them. It effectively is about the squad, which is where they lacked trailing Man City. And he realised that 2 or 3 years ago, yep. Whatever it was, more than that. And they went out and they bolstered the squad. And they're able to bring these players on. But as he said, and we were talking about this coming up to 90 minutes, clearly in his mind, he was thinking, there's no way Van Dijk's playing 120. Mm-hmm. And as he said, Mo Salah said, and we were saying, if it's a Champions League final, they'd have stayed on. Yeah. But it's not going to get any better by staying on, so why take that chance? And so all these things were, and I think Liverpool fans will be pleased to hear this, is precautionary, yep. Because they'll be worried at the moment, who's going to miss the Champions League final? Who's going to be fit? It looks like any injuries are only niggles.
Final thoughts, Stevie, on what we saw today?
Liverpool won. Who cares how the game went?
Good.
That's all that matters.
That's what we like from him. Simplicity.
Yeah, exactly. Keep it simple.
Keep it simple. What's your thoughts? Hey, the only thing that ever mattered was who won.
Yeah.
Liverpool won.
Thanks for coming.
Have we figured out yet what's behind that wall?
Where are we going? Celebrations then as Liverpool win their second piece of silverware this season. Two more, of course, still on the line between now and the end of the month. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match. With Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. It was the final round of matches in the Bundesliga, and a late point for Leipzig would be enough to see them guarantee Champions League football next season. Meanwhile, the champions played out a 2-2 draw against Wolfsburg, but that wasn't the story. The story was all about Robert Lewandowski and his future at the club. This is what Hanzic had to say about that. I spoke to Lever in the conversation. He told me he did not want to accept our offer to extend the contract and that he would like to leave the club. He said that he would like to do something else, but our attitude hasn't changed. Lever has a contract until June 2023. That a fact. Lewandowski addressing after the game, saying it's very possible that this is my last game for Bayern. I cannot say that 100%, but it may have been my last match. We want to find the best solution for me and for the club. For more on this, let's welcome in Jan Arge Fjørtoft. Jan, this isn't a surprise. You've been talking about this for a while now. Maybe what is a slight surprise, though, is the fact it's so public now.
Absolutely. And Dan, as you know from your Norwegian-German correspondent, that he wants to leave. We know that for a while, because he has known all about the process around Erling Haaland. He has known that Bayern were desperate to get him in, meaning that he has to go. They haven't given him any concrete offer. He is 34. He wants a new challenge. So what happened at Bayern, they have played a risky game. They knew that if they were going for Haaland, they could end up no Haaland and no Lewandowski. So this has been a game that Salihamidžić, the head of sport, and Oliver Kahn have played. And we must say, if you lose them both, you have lost the game. And I see that they say that he's going to stay till next summer. Well, I'm not sure that will happening. They're talking about, we saw that Kolejcic, the young Austrian playing for Stuttgart, to score that first goal for them today. He's been linked to them. They're talking about Mané. The funny thing is about the German journalists, they're not talking about what is realistically. They just make so breaking news because Bayern Munich are after some great players. I mean, then you can do breaking news every day, couldn't you? Just ask Bayern, do you want Salah? Yeah, we want him. Breaking news, they want Salah. That is not what it's all about. It's what's realistically to get there. And I'm not sure that Salihamidžić has the proven record of that. The players he got in his reign at Bayern has not been impressive. I think this could be a very, very difficult period for Bayern Munich this transfer window.
I think there's probably many facets to why he might leave, but I think at his age, there's no doubt to me he wants to get the juices flowing again and he wants a challenge. Let's be quite frank. At the moment, it's not a challenge for Bayern Munich to win the Bundesliga. Mm-hmm. So, and that's just factual. So I think at his age, yeah, maybe he's not happy with how they've done some business, maybe he's not happy with some finances, but he's also at that age where, you know, if he is going to have a fresh challenge, it's not going to be for very long, and he's going to have to do it now. And I think, to me, he wants to go somewhere where it's not, I say, a foregone conclusion, but it's not a likelihood that they're going to, the team that he goes to...
He's talking Barcelona, isn't it? That's been the reports.
Well, and that would be a challenge when you see Real Madrid and you see Benzema at 34 doing what he's doing. And I just think he needs that to sort of finish his career and kick him going again, kick him off again. Because it has become all a little bit too easy for them.
But Yanni's got a year left on his contract. Whoever Bayern bring in won't be as good as Robert Lewandowski. So why don't they just say, no, you're staying put?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I am saying, Dan. But the thing is that Bayern Munich, if you put, I said that yesterday, if you put three men on the stage, Salihamidžić, the president, or Oliver Kahn, they would have three different opinions. And next day they turn around and have the other opinion of them. So the management at the time now of Bayern, it's like funny. So Salihamidžić is saying that he will stay for another year. He probably won't stay. If he said that he will go this summer, he will probably stay 1 year. Bayern Munich, a great, great club. But at the moment, they are running this club funny. I will stick with funny because this is not worthy. And I agree with Craig. If you're 34, you need that new challenge and go into Barcelona. Try. Maybe this is a great time. Everything to win there with Xavi's project, being a challenger again, trying to come back from the miserable time they've had lately. So I think Barcelona could be in there, but I will also put in the outside of Chelsea because if something happened with Lukaku this summer, they need a proven striker who can come in and score you 25, 30 goals, and Robert Lewandowski is a guarantee for that.
You got to think, though, he's been pushed into that. I agree with what the boys are saying, that, you know, he's got a chance to have a new challenge and all the rest of it. But I would think that he's been, that door's been pushed open by the people at Bayern. Hmm. And it always amazes me, not just sporting directors, but some coaches who were players. You know, these guys were top players. You would think they would know what and what not to do. Can you imagine if what was done to Lewandowski had been done to them when they were playing? They would have walked out the front door. So why? Why do sporting directors and coaches that have been in the position of the players they're mistreating, why do they do it? I can never figure it out. Madness.
We've talked all year about Chelsea's deficiencies. You know, Barcelona are clearly a huge club, but they're, you know, they're, I don't know if they're further away from winning a title than Chelsea when you look at where Chelsea are this season. But let's not forget, at one point, Chelsea this year were in the driver's seat up until, I don't know, December, around about the turn of the year. You know, that would be, for them, the chances they've created this year, it's stating the obvious, that's what they've lacked.
Yeah.
Now, you know, it might be Xavi in Barcelona and that huge move, or it could be the frills of London in the Premier League. And, you know, going to a team that have got a good manager, are generally rock solid, but have nobody who's clinical. Now, there's building for the future, as a lot of managers like to do in clubs with younger players, and there's a need for now. I don't know what he'd give you, 2 or 3 years, max. But that 2 or 3 years and buy you a bit of time until you find that next player and rebuild that squad. Chelsea needs something, and they need something badly in that position.
What a signing he would be for the new owners. Yeah. You know, people asking questions about what their intentions are. Can you imagine their first signing is Robert Lewandowski? Big time.
Jan, you got your finger up.
Yeah, I just got my finger up because it's a very good point that Stevie is doing how you manage people, because this is what it's all about. And then we can discuss, it's hard because Bayern Munich got to go after the biggest talent in the German Bundesliga, but still you got the best striker in the world with you. And you say about some human beings, they are very proud human beings. It's like they don't want anything to devaluate you as a person. And Robert Lewandowski is exactly that man. And they know that because he'd been staying there for a long, long time. And you could see as the season come to an end, he was annoyed. He was annoyed of the public statement of Bayern Munich because he was not, I won't say lying, I will be because I don't need the libel things. I would say they were not telling the truth. And they were sitting there with a Pinocchio noses in different shows and saying they were not after Haaland. And Lewandowski knew about that all the time. When I went to this celebration game where Schweinsteiger got all the beer over him and everything, we had a Lewandowski at our channel. So after the interviews, I told him, you know, Robert, I know all about this. I know what you're feeling. And he was just like, yeah, good. So, well, you know that feeling that the human being, he's hurt. And that is what I see the lack of Salihamidzic and Oliver Kahn. So Stevie making a fantastic good point on that. Wow. Because Oliver Kahn maybe being the football player who reacted on the small details. If someone shouted from 1 of 50,000, he would react and say, if you don't stop that, I will leave the club. No, he's the head of Bayern Munich, and you have a player who wants to go away because of the way you've been treated. Well, this is circle of life.
Who on earth could Bayern bring in, Jan, that would make them more competitive, say, in the Champions League?
No one. And this is the point. And that's why they tried to put in Haaland, because they could have 4 or 5 years. He would be 25, 26. But they were always an outsider there to get him. It was always Manchester City, Real Madrid being the favourites to get him. They're talking about Patrick Schick. He is in the Champions League with Leverkusen. He doesn't have a clause. They won't get him. They were talking about Mané. They won't get him. And then they go for Kalajdzic. Yeah, I like Kalajdzic, but still, this is not Lewandowski. Lewandowski is the best number 9 in the world, I would say, with Benzema. I mean, you can't replace him, and that's why it's an unbelievable pressure of the recruit department of Bayern Munich at the moment. And that's why they're saying he's going to stay. Well, this is going to be interesting.
What's the Don Hutchinson percentage, Jan, of him being at Bayern Munich next year?
Thank you for naming Don, because I was thinking, were you guys sitting with this fantastic suit you're having in the studio, and we have the two boys at Wembley, and I sitting in my Düsseldorf hotel room studio, but he saved me, Don, again, because he was there with his jogging suit, so he saved me. So thanks for bringing that up. I would say the chances that he will be leaving, I would say there's, I won't say 50-50, I would say 60-40 advantage Lewandowski leaving, because I think the power of a player who is so P like Lewandowski is now.
Yes.
Well, that is hard to keep him at the club.
It's going to keep us busy all summer, isn't it?
There's no doubt in my mind Don's having a midlife crisis. I mean, but you have to accept sometimes, you know, Mother Nature takes its toll. There's no point trying to dress like a 22-year-old when you're 50.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Premier League is all about Sunday. You can see no less than 7 games for you tomorrow. Of course, some big, big ties concerning those at the bottom of the table. Burnley away against Spurs, Leeds at home against Brighton, Everton taking on Brentford. Of course, for Spurs, a big game as well off their win against Arsenal, looking to continue that momentum. On Monday, Shaka Hislop is the guest of honour of Newcastle against Arsenal. And then it's Southampton against Liverpool on Tuesday.
About time he was a guest of honour in this studio, is it not? Holy smokes.
Also as well, Man City against West Ham. We'll be looking back at all those big games on the next edition of the show. That is it. That brings us to the end of today's programme. Thank you very much for joining us. Be sure to stay tuned, though. Jan is back, and so are the boys as well, to answer your questions for Extra Time. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets. Craig Burley with us, as is Stevie Nicol. Jan Agerfjordhoff on the final day of the German season. So this is the last time in that hotel for a while, Jan.
I can't believe it. Today in Signal Iduna Park, they said goodbye to Mikael Stork, been there for 44 years. They said Schmelzer, the legend, 369 games. Erling Haaland, did I get a flower and painting? No. I am just back in my hotel room all on my own.
I love the banner for Erling Haaland.
What did it say? I don't know
what it said, but they've just got a cut and paste, haven't they?
What do you mean?
Thanks very much, Erling. Thanks very much, Mats Hummels.
Yep.
Thanks very much, Mario Götze. Thanks very much, Robert Lewandowski.
Yes.
Who else can we sell you? Thanks very much,
Dembele.
Jude Bellingham. Oh, no, I'm getting ahead of myself.
Oh, well, that's still to come. Stevie, Klopp is the first manager to win every single elite trophy at Liverpool. Is he in the conversation with Paisley and Shankly? If not, what else does he need to win?
No, he's absolutely in the conversation. Listen, Shankly will never ever be top.
Right.
But your next lot, Paisley, Dalglish, Klopp.
In that conversation?
Absolutely.
To Stevie, Mendy saved Mane's penalty and almost cost Liverpool the cup, probably because Mendy knew where Mane would like to place his penalty. Has Stevie or anyone on the panel played against their teammate from the national team in a cup final or high profile match?
Yes.
Yeah, you must have done, yeah.
Jim Leighton.
Ah, yeah.
Premier League, Scottish Premier League match at Aberdeen. Had to win, tight game, 0-0. Weren't playing particularly well. And I took a penalty, Big Jim was in goal. But to be fair, Big Jim's eyes are not the best. So it favoured me a little bit.
Didn't he used to have like Vaseline all over?
Oh. on his eyes to stop. It's supposed to stop the sweat going
right,
in.
Right, okay.
Because the sweat went in, he got in his contact lenses.
Right. And then he got, I just remember lumps of Vaseline just everywhere.
The cross used to come in and he'd say, where is it?
But you scored the penalty, yes?
That one, yeah.
Yeah. Stevie, do you ever come up against a teammate in a big game?
I can't think, not in a cup final.
No.
But it wasn't a long term. It was a Scotland teammate, but
yeah,
it's a little different. I mean, you're the same as Mendy.
Yes.
take some.
Yeah, no.
No?
No.
Jan?
See, you've got to have it. You've got to be able to adjust.
Oh.
Well, I just...
Yeah, looking well. Oh, dear.
I think it's a time to one of my favourite stories. I will take it short. Oh. I played for Barnsley and Sheffield United. I just left Sheffield United. Played against Simon Tracy, the goalkeeper of Sheffield United, the fattest goalkeeper alive. And we were standing...
Hold on, can I stop you there?
No,
hold on, yeah. I've got to take you to task here. Is he fatter than Kevin Pressman?
It's the same city, Sheffield, so we'll probably be at the same restaurant,
yeah,
Stevie.
Now, that'd be a close
one. Put it another way. Okay, there's a tough competition. I said he was fat, and we were standing in the tunnel, and I always had a go at him when I played for Sheffield United. Standing in the tunnel, being the number 9 of Barnsley, local derby, and he said to me, just as we went out, and he said to me, Jan, I know all about your chips, chipping over him. And I said, the only one chips you know about, Fatty, is the chips that you're eating every day. So after 15 minutes, I'm coming one against him, chipping him and going over to him and said, OK, Fatty. So I played against my former teammates, yes.
Ah, there we go.
I'm not getting involved.
That's allowed. That is it. That is not a worse story. I won't get any lawyers.
For all, have any of you ever been involved in a rivalry as dead even as this year's between Chelsea and Liverpool? Is it frustrating or energising to be in a matchup where neither squad can really beat the other? 4 draws?
Oof. What do you mean?
Well, it's been four draws.
Well, he'd have had rivalries in England.
Yeah.
So, and we had the rivalry with Rangers.
Sure.
It went to the last day of the season.
Mm. Does it energise you?
What?
Those sort of rivalries?
Well,
I would say,
it energises you. I mean, you've no choice.
No, I understand. No, but in the context of this question, because you're so tight.
It's more frustrating.
Right.
Because you know each other so well, you've played so many times, you're kind of going, oh, here we go again.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's probably more frustrating than anything else. Certainly not energising, is it? There's no worse than keeping playing the same team over and over and over again.
For Craig, if Lewandowski comes to Barca, how many goals will he score?
30. 30.
30?
Aye.
30?
Aye.
Fair enough.
Yeah?
Fair enough.
Okay. All right, fair enough.
All right, 28.
Jan?
Yeah, I think when Aubameyang, you know, respect to him, can score a lot of goals. I mean, for every goal Aubameyang score, he will score 3. So he will probably come over 30, yeah.
How was it playing the remainder of the season with nothing to play for as a player playing for a top team, Stevie? You can't have been in that situation that often, were
you? No, I was never in that position until I went to Sheffield Wednesday.
Right.
Because when I left Liverpool, I went to a team that was going to be relegated.
Yes.
So that was a different sort of feeling, but...
Was there a period at Wednesday where no games really mattered?
Aye.
And what's that like?
Strange.
I bet.
It almost feels as though it's not correct.
Yeah.
Because you're playing against teams as well who are in the same situation, and it almost seems like a nothing. And the atmosphere at the game's the same as well.
Right.
Because both sets of supporters understand that there's really nothing on it. Yeah, I found that very strange.
You?
What?
Did you have any games at the end of the season where it didn't mean much? Come on. I know we've been here a while.
Well, Derby, no.
Derby were fighting, yeah.
Oh, my God, that was horrible. Horrible. Chelsea, a couple, because 94 was a cup final.
Yep.
97 was a cup final. 96 was a semi-final right at the end and fighting for Europe. Probably only one or two.
Right.
And then Celtic, obviously, no.
No, because you're winning some.
All out to the end.
Jan?
Well, I think I was, when I compare with the boys in the studio, I was so involved in some relegation battles, so every minute counted on the season. But when I played for Swindon at the end, I think we were relegated 2 or 3 league rounds before the end. But being in the Premier League and being in a position at Swindon Town where we were so enjoyed our stay in the Premier League, so we wanted to show them we had something to do in the league. So I can't remember that we're being a downer, but I remember the last game of the season we played Leeds United at home. We have conceded 95 goals, 9-5. Leeds United had a party 3 days before the game, 2 days before the game. Did we lose? Yeah, we lost 5-0. Of course we did.
Wow.
That was Swindon Town, 93-94.
Goodness me. Yeah, and you've got a couple of fantastic stray hairs at the moment. Like someone's holding a balloon over the top of your head. Right, final question. Enough about the FA Cup. If Stevie, Craig and Jan were stuck in a forest, who among them would they trust to? Number one, figure out a way without a map. Well, not you, because you still print off the instructions. It's some kind of AAA in Brazil. Oh, yeah.
My sense of direction is not.
No.
This is easy.
Right.
Before we even get to it.
No, he's not.
Well, you're taking Jan all day. Norwegian, are you kidding me?
Jan, could you get out of the forest without a map?
Norwegians can...
He walks in the forest.
Yeah, he does,
can hunt fish, navigate, you name it.
Build a Viking boat, everything, yeah. A lot. Him and I just be sat with our feet in the hut.
More fish.
Academia in Norway. Build a boat, right, you're out.
That's why I didn't understand that question, Dan, because this is my daily life.
Of course.
This is outside my door.
Okay,
I couldn't get my batteries out of the thing today.
For me. Your microphone.
You think I can...
Right, your thing, your microphone.
Yeah, there. okay, so Jan would take them out with a map. Who would protect the group from wild animals?
Jan.
Craig.
Craig's got a bit of a snarl about it.
Oh, no.
Craig could be holding hands behind a tree or something like that.
That's what they do at school in Norway. They build boats.
What do you do if you meet a bear in the woods, Jan? What's the protocol?
This just stand still. That's the same with wolves. They won't harm you. You won't find any story that any wolf has injured and hurt any human being. So just stand still. And it's the same thing that they say when you are swimming. If you meet the shark, don't just stay still in the water. I've never tried it. Practical stuff.
So if you stay still, you'll sink.
Red Riding Hood.
You're diving. Diving.
Who would you send to search for edible foods?
Jan. You know he's not going to be very busy.
Steve, I found these berries. Yeah.
To be fair, him and I are not going to be doing a lot in this.
No,
we're going to be well rested.
There's a lot of moaning. Is that all you found, Jan? Is that all you did?
We'll be well rested.
That is it. Thank you very much, guys. ESPN FC will be back on your screens tomorrow.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.